Welcome to another edition of The Brand Called You. Today I have with me a very, very successful professional and entrepreneur, but more than that, he is my YPO brother. He and I have been together on a board of a company and a very, very dear friend. Ronnie Drori, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning, Ashutosh. Pleasure.
And I did not mention that Ronnie is talking to us from Warsaw in Poland. Ronnie is an MBA from Boston. He did his master's in pharmacology from Israel. He's a senior leader in the retail industry in Europe and Israel. So Ronnie, tell me a little bit about your early work and how you built your career.
Well, you know, my history starts with my roots always. Like all of us, I'm a Jewish guy, born, raised in Israel, Hungarian roots. The last 20 years, I'm living and working in Central Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. That's my, life story in a nutshell. Okay. Now, as a young pharmacist, I joined the American Baxter company after graduating my pharmacology degree. Right. And it was, it was junior position in sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. It was, in the times where, no computers were used, no mobile telephones were used. Mm-hmm. Everything was done manually on hand. So, and this, it was different way of working, totally different. And, this period of time taught me mainly about the major importance of personal, interpersonal relationships in business. Because it was not possible to call a guy, mail a guy, WhatsApp a guy, tweet, whatever. Yes. So it was only personal.
Yes.
And business were very personal at that time. And this is my intake for those early days.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And at what stage did you enter the retail business?
Well, from there, from Baxter. Baxter was later bought by Teva. Mm-hmm. And then I got the proposal to move to Superfarm. Mm-hmm. And I was managing for 5 years. I was managing a drugstore branch. Superfarm in Israel is the leading drugstore chain with around 250 drugstores. Extremely successful, very professional retailer. Mm-hmm. In those early days, we have six branches in Superfarm. Yes, so just to give you the perspective.
Yeah.
5 years I was establishing and managing this from scratch, this branch. Mm-hmm. Each branch is millions of euros and turnover and few tenths of employees. And then later I was promoted as a operational director of the chain. Mm-hmm. For three, four years. This was a very, very important fundamental, post in my career. There I was absorbing the two major elements which supported me later. One of them was, I would say, the basics of general management. Mm-hmm. I was a young pharmacist, and mm-hmm. suddenly you have a lot of employees, tons of stocks, rotation, basics, mm-hmm. Principles of management on one hand, and the other side was the art of retail. Superfarm is, and probably will be one of the most sophisticated retailers which I have met. I see more and more other sophisticated brands because life pushes us to be very creative and sophisticated. Right. But at that time, they were really ahead of their competitors in light of retail art.
Very interesting. So, you spent so much time in the pharma industry and in pharmacy retail. What are some of the challenges that are being faced by the pharma industry today?
Well, that's a good question. I think, there are several major limitations, mm-hmm. and trends which will influence the pharma industry Of course, this is budget restrictions.
Correct.
First and most. Most countries are struggling with budgetary and monetary systems. Mm. Healthcare is big part of the budget. Mm. Expensive. Life expectancy is going up significantly. And within the same budget, you need to take care for more and more and more and more people.
Right.
Lifestyle is changing also.
Right.
So on one hand, there will be a need to treat more people. On the other hand, people will take care more and more by themselves with alternative medicines, which we see is growing dramatically. People don't take pills till age 40.
Right.
Yes, principally, yes. They cure themselves, you know, with alternative herbal medicines and so, which will bring me later to remind me to the cannabis, my cannabis story, which is back to the roots.
Mm-hmm.
I think those major trends will continue pushing the pharma industry like any other industry today to become more efficient, more creative, and find ways to really deal with treating a much bigger population with different systems. So it's educational and other to make sure that you have less real sick people.
Terrific. And, you know, the world of generics is now seems to be again getting bigger and bigger. And every country, every customer is aware of generics. What, in your opinion, will happen as more generics come in? What will that do to the branded medicines?
Well, I think this here, it's pretty straightforward, yes, because it's like what you see private labels in the FMCG market, yes.
Right.
We were experiencing and we still see growth in private label in the FMCG market.
Mm.
So they will see much more competition, decreasing sales, decreasing profitability of the private label because of this contract manufacturing competition.
Mm-hmm.
There is a surplus of production in any industry, including pharma. Mm-hmm. So there is competition. And the outcome, I think, will be that they will have to invent a new or modified products much faster. So they will not be able to rely on one product. And the best example I can give is the Copaxone of Teva, yes, which was the flag product of Teva and you know, now is generics. So, and the rest, you know, so.
Right. So, you know, you have worked with several major companies. You've built companies from scratch in the pharmacy retail space. And you always told me how important supply chain is. Talk to me a little bit about the importance of a strong supply chain for pharmaceutical products.
Well, supply chain is really becoming, you know, the major fundamental, let's say, strongest link, not the weakest link, but the strongest link.
Mm.
Because the market was changing dramatically. It's much more customer focused.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, concepts were changing dramatically, also in the retail industry. Implementation of technology, automatic cash registers, you name it. So they are all there already. So there was a major need to optimize the supply chain.
Mm.
If you can deliver on time, you are the winner. And if you can rotate your stock faster, you are the winner. Now, this supply chain is also based on technological, very advanced platforms today. So everybody can save money, also the producers. So they can be much more planned, efficient, supplied better. But the what everybody calls today the last mile became the major issue. Those companies who were able to focus and develop it and really give good service, you know, took the market.
Amazing. So one more question on retail before I move to startups. This is the world of e-commerce. Everything seems to be changing. How is e-commerce changing pharma retail?
Well, e-commerce dramatically, you see. So it's in one word, yes. So again, as I mentioned before, because of this focus around the client and the client expectations and the trends, you know, it's new generations. It's not one generation, it's already the second generation who are much more looking for conveniency and speed and price. So you cannot give it in a brick and mortar, you know, chains, facilities, etc. And again, so efficient business models for online are already in place. Mm. Also in pharma, I'm talking about pharma also. If you take Doc Morris, which is, you know, the largest online provider in Europe, this is, you know, €500 million a business from one site. Mm-hmm. Very efficient. The challenge in the future for the online, of course, the online will continue influencing on the retail dramatically by shifting, not just by complementary as we wanted to think about it. So you have to have, you know, omni-channel like this and this. Yeah. No, it will bite from the brick and mortar pharmacy. It is. See closures and closures all over. And it will grow and grow and become more and more sophisticated because it is technologically based. And also, I think, you know, that still there is a need to crack the profitability story of the owner. Amazon took years until they broke even. The profits are mainly coming from their cloud-based services, etc. But so this will be the next challenge for how to make it profitable, because you would have to keep prices down, etc. So, but the effect is dramatic. I'm personally a heavy user, you know, in the family of the online, all aspects, including pharma.
Wonderful, wonderful. So Ronnie, let's talk about another aspect of your life, which is as an entrepreneur. And you just mentioned about your cannabis business. So let's start with that. Talk to me about the business and what got you interested in that particular product.
Well, that's a, you know, I got into this entrepreneurship, you know, mode late in my life. Yes. So I was not in my 20s and not 30. But at a certain moment of time, I figure out that, okay, another corporate challenge. I was doing, you know, as I told you and you know before, I was doing, you know, almost everything in this corporate world, from, you know, starting Superfarm also in Poland, but also in case of CPD, managing one of the largest pharmacy chains in Europe.
Okay.
So after that, you are coming to a, you know, a point where you have some vacuum. You don't know, okay, recalculating route, as we say in our GPS. And obviously, as you mentioned, the YPO, our friends in the YPO gave me good advice. They told me, you know, to use my experience and you know, really dive into a pool, which I didn't know how tough it is. Mm-hmm. And I took a decision to establish my platform here, and via this platform to invest and actively manage semi-startups, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, you know, let's talk about your learnings as an entrepreneur. And I have spoken to hundreds of people, and I'd love to hear from you also. What are basic mistakes that some startup entrepreneurs make?
Mistakes?
Lots of them.
First of all, it's you know, it's a totally different, was for me totally different status. Because I've never been, you know, when I started Superfarm, okay, I started from scratch, but I always had the backing, even financially and you know, corporate-wise and know-how, etc., and I was supported.
Right.
Here you are absolutely, totally alone. Mm. And this was for me the first shock. Yes. Mm. So there are no secretaries. There are no, so you are totally alone. You have to think yourself, decide yourself, do yourself, you know, the strategic issues and the very minor basic accounting issues. Yes. So right. This is something, this is a different challenge, which I am very happy I was experiencing as expanding my learning and experiences. Mm. I think major mistakes is about choosing people, because I think the startups needs different characters.
Correct.
Which corporate needs different characters. And you need to, let's say, hire and recruit in a different process to see people which are having, you know, the strength to bypass problems, to do several things in the same time, to cope with pressure, etc., flexible, which is not easy. So that was my major, let's say, failure, I would say, at the beginning. But it's like a lesson.
Okay. The other question for startups is that, you know, I've seen this in India. Everyone wants to expand throughout the country. And I've often said, and I made the mistake myself, is that why do you need to scale up so fast? So my question to you is, when should a startup start to scale up?
When you have, I think first you have to have the model in place, proven model. And then you should have, first you have to have the proven model. I think this is the most important, that, you know, that it's working, not the story, but that it's really working, selling, people like it, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's about whether you are capable financially to do it, yes? So you have to be really prepared for it. You have to choose investors. That's, you know, I just share with you insights, my insights from my last 2 years.
Absolutely.
Very carefully. Who do you take, you know, on your board? You have to invest in a very professional, very clear business plan, which is based really on potential and you know, you can back it and explain it very clearly. People we have discussed, this is major issue. One, let's say you ask about personal challenges of startupists is over optimism.
Okay.
Because also myself, yes, I had the plan and I had to change it. Mm. Yes.
Very interesting.
You need to address also the issues of cash flow.
Correct.
In a startup as a top priority, which was never top priority in profitable corporates. Yes, it was important, but, you know, it always, you know, positive. Yes. Mm. So it's totally different than when about expansion, it's about the model, but also when there is the opportunity. So don't push to go quickly to other countries and so, unless you have the opportunity there, partner, friend, contacts, you know, that you can rely 100% on, otherwise it won't.
So one more question for startups before I move to a few questions for you personally. You know, you're Jewish, closely connected with Israel. My question to you is, what makes Israel the startup capital of the world?
Well, frankly speaking, I don't know. This is cultural, as you mentioned, yes? So it's a very competitive culture. So I always want to be better than the guy sitting in front of me. So I'm always looking for, you know, this is, I think, the advantage of the culture and the disadvantage, because always looking for other solutions, other way to perform the task, let's say. Mm-hmm. Yes. If I do something, so there is the manual, but maybe I can do it better, faster, etc.
Right.
So this is the, let's say, the ground for entrepreneurship but the disadvantage is that, you know, shortcuts are, you know, are sometimes recipe for failure. So I think behind this is the cultural push for education, because, you know, education in families is inherent. Yes. So parents will push their kids to study, develop themselves, even if not in university, but, you know, IT, not necessarily you need to be, you know, graduating from university, but you can be a very good programmer to be, you know, the best, yes? And also some kind of, I would say, as we say, having the balls, it's not bravery, let's say, to take this step and believe in yourself and do it, yes? Sometimes, you know, you fail, but 95%, you know, of the times you fail, but it's inherent in the culture.
Perfect, wonderful. So now I have time for a few questions for you personally. My first question to you is, what does success mean to you?
That's, you caught me unprepared, you know, so... because, you know, what for? Yes. Why are we doing this? Yes. So why are we pushing ourselves for you know, achieving, you know, more complex or different challenges and so.
Right.
I think it's the stimulation, the personal stimulation. Mm. And the success is actually it's a feeling, yes? It's a feeling where you reach the peak. I will tell you a short story where I felt I reached the peak when, it was already when we knew that Superfarm will be a success in Poland. And so we had 15 branches at that time, but it was starting to grow very fast. In the newspaper, a Polish newspaper, there was a photo of a Polish lady who was climbing the Everest and she got to the top, yes. But the night before they go up, she was in the tent and took a photo of her sitting in front of the tent where was hang a plastic bag of Superfarm. So I got to the Everest, to the Everest top. So suddenly I felt, okay, I left something, yes? So I got to the top, I crossed all the obstacles, I was constantly using my ability to perseverance, you say in English, right? That's the right word, I assume. And I crossed all barriers and I made it to the top. So I think this is the great feeling. It's like amphetamines or so, which are giving you that you leave something which was not before, doing well for a lot of people at the end of the day, employment, service for clients, etc. And this is also what I expect to do also with this cannabis business we are invested in.
And my last question to you, and this comes back to the pandemic, how are you rethinking your life in the new world order?
Well, I find it challenging because, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of, you know, long lesson, this coronavirus for me. Started 6 months ago, and every time I learn something new, yes, about myself and about the world, etc. Change is inevitable, as we know. We don't like sometimes, but it's inevitable. Nature is way stronger than us. Nature stops us in the history also several times when we ran too fast. I feel like, okay, the world ran too fast and nature came and slowed us down, relax, okay, deal with it and so, and restart. And it's also changing in a way which I find very convenient because working even, yes? So, okay, some industries will face major difficulties. Some industries will change the way they operate. For example, we see that even without the flights and commuting, we can make very nice development in the business. Offices are okay, nice to have, but not a necessity all the time. And they lost the glory they had before, yes. Doesn't matter where is the office, you can work from everywhere. Of course, there are a lot of negative aspects, like especially in case of interpersonal relationships. You know, I would love to come visit you, but not possible at the moment. I cannot go to Israel because I go to quarantine, like And my daughter got married, and I went to 1 month because 2 weeks I was in quarantine, and then the parties. Yes, so it's changing, and we have to align to it. Yes, so and of course that health is something, health and time. Health is something you cannot buy. Okay, you can have better health, you know, if you have more money. So, but to a certain extent, and time. Because we have a saying that time is the most valuable asset we have, and we waste it as easy as possible.
Well said.
So time is of essence. So you use our time more efficiently.
Well said. Well said.
Yes.
Tony, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you.
Really was a pleasure. It you know, I had to revive my memory, go back and see, you know, and things which were really, really interesting.
Perfect. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Keep well.
You too.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.